Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Hi, everybody. TJ Ryan and my guest, Jack Alice. He's out of Wisconsin. He lives, not too far, I believe, from Milwaukee. Where is that from that you're from, Jack?
I live, west of Milwaukee, kind of out in what used to be farm country, but now is the suburbs are kind of creeping out in this direction. But I live in a place called Oconomowoc. I live on a little lake here called Little Okauchee Lake. So it's a combination of old world and new world and kind of mushing together here. Which is happening, I think, in most suburban areas these days and most outlying areas around cities.
Well, it's nice to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on again.
You're welcome. I'm pleased to be here. This is my third or fourth time with you, I think, the years.
And each time the message gets, we learn a little bit more.
Things are evolving.
As you continue to progress, like everybody does, and evolve at their own pace. But Jack is on, he's evolving at maybe a faster pace than a lot of us, because he's taking those steps. And we're going to get to that in a moment, but he's had books. So what are some of the books that you've had out, including your most recent?
Well, let's talk about most recent. My last two books have dealt with 2012 and the shift. The most recent one is entitled Prophecy, Challenge, and Blessing, Visions of 2012 and the Shift. And in the last year since that book came out, I've also come out with two new DVDs. The new one is entitled 2012 and the Shift, The Power of Ceremony, which is really kind of where it's at these days for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other DVD was a companion to the book, and it's entitled 2012 and the Shift, Prophecy, Challenge, and Blessing. And I got lots of goodies out there, And I invite people to go to my website, please, www.jackalice.com. Last name Allis, jackalice.com. You can check all this stuff out, and that's where everything is. And
that's where you find everything.
Yep.
And, last time we talked, I know you had talked about going out to Mount Shasta. You had talked about being involved with natives of Peru, how you became a member within an organization, within their group. They called you grandfather. They gave you that name, correct?
It's actually the Maya.
The Maya.
Peru. I took a trip to Peru back that we maybe talked about it at some point, too. But no, this is a group that was founded by a Mayan elder by the name of Eric Gonzalez.
Okay.
And his group the name of the group is Earth Peoples United. And they're building a sustainable community up north of Mount Shasta in the mountains. And this is really out in the middle of nowhere at a place called Deer Mountain. And building another sustainable community down in Guatemala on Lake Atitlan, the heart of the Guatemalan world, the heart of the Mayan world, at a little place called that they called Patsiapa. That's been a very, very wonderful. Probably the most important influence in my recent life has been meeting my Mayan elder friend and associate Eric Gonzalez. Because what's so interesting about this, TJ, is that virtually everything that I'm writing about in my books and that I've been writing about in my books for the last 4 or 5 years or so on 2012 and the Shift is completely resonates with the message that's transmitted by Eric. And, of course, the information that Eric's transmitting is essentially it's the original teachings, from the ancient Mayan wisdom, the ancient Mayan elders. And that's what he's holding and keeping, like so many of the Mayan elders these days are kind of coming out of the closet and opening up this world for us white folks that we can come in and begin to learn these things. And it's amazing how this information correlates with the stuff I've been writing about. I've been writing about in my books. It's very, very reinforcing in terms of letting me know that I'm on the right track here. If I've got a Mayan elder who is basically saying all the same things, that was a wonderful. I wasn't counting on that happening, but
right.
When it did, I was kind of like, "Ooh, this is good."
It's confirmation. Now, when did you first start? When did you first start getting interested in the shift and feeling, sensing that something was happening?
Well, I first learned about the shift probably about 5 or 6. I've known about it for a long, long time. We've all known about the ending of the Mayan calendar, and people have been kind of rumbling about that for a long time. But I've been really into this topic for about 5 or 6 years now, since about early this century, maybe 5, 6, 7 years. So I've been into it that long, learning more and more and more about it all the time too. In terms of, you know, the more I learn about this message that I'm learning continues to evolve and change. I think one of the things that I told you when we were just chatting before we started here was one of the things that I'm learning, TJ, is that the more I learn about the shift, the more I learn about 2012 and the shift, the more I'm learning that this topic is becoming less and less academic, and it's becoming more and more experiential, in terms of there's a taking spiritual action component to this that seems to be primary right now. And there really, as far as the shift is concerned, there really, really isn't that much to talk about. You know, once you once you get the basic gist of it in terms of what it all means and that kind of stuff, it's many of the so-called experts on this topic, you know, really make it way, 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 way too complicated and complex as far as everything that's involved here with, you know, agonizing over, you know, these dates and when did the calendar actually end and, you know, what's the actual, you know, what's going to happen on such and such a date and all these predictions and everything, and it just gets so complicated and confusing, and it really doesn't have to be. Do you want to just sum it up in terms of a couple of minutes here?
Sure.
People really need to know about this?
Go ahead.
Basically, what the shift means is it means that this is a time of prophecy. We are living in an age of prophecy. And this is something that the ancient indigenous wisdom from virtually every culture on the planet has been talking about and telling us about literally for hundreds of years now, pointing to this time and pointing to what was going to happen during this time. And basically, you know, what is prophesized and what is happening during this time is, in one simple word, transformation. This is not about the end of the world. This is, however, about the world being transformed. And we are in this age of transformation. It's started. It's happening. I think you asked me in your question a couple of seconds ago, when did I start feeling this? I really started feeling it probably maybe 3, 4 years ago. I started feeling the accelerated pace of the change of the world. And I just started feeling like something was happening. And, you know, one of the topics for discussion in all this is that, you know, if the shift is not a point in time, you know, like a particular date, you know, December 21st, 2012, or everything is prophesied to happen, that if it's not a particular date, which it isn't, then it is rather a more of a process and more of something that takes place over a period of time. So it's more of a gradual thing. And it starts at a certain point, and it kind of starts out slowly, and then begins to accelerate, and the deeper and deeper we get into it, you know, the faster and faster things are moving. And that's kind of where we're at now, where we really are kind of in the heart of this thing as we approach December 21st, 2012. And as we can see with the Earth changes in the world, and as we can see with the paradigm shifts in the world, things are changing, things are accelerating, and basically all these prophecies are basically coming true. It's all happening, it's happening now. And the other thing that we learn about this, and again, we learn this from virtually all of the ancient, the indigenous traditions. The Maya tell us this. The Hopi tell us this. Is that this thing we call the shift or this time of transformation is basically, this is all about our spirituality. This is all about a spiritual process, and this is a spiritual opportunity. So, as long as we know that this is a spiritual opportunity, and as long as we know that this time has started, that the shift is happening, and that it's happening now, all the rest of it we can just forget about, because, you know, the only time that matters is now, today, and the only thing that matters is each and every one of us as human beings, you know, to get to work on our spirituality, because that's where it all starts. It all begins with each and every one of us taking advantage of this spiritual opportunity, raising the frequency of our vibration, you know, getting to work on our spiritual ascension, because that's what this time calls for. When enough of us can do that, and when enough of us can raise the frequency of our vibration, when enough of us do it, we can then succeed at basically raising the vibration of the planet. And once we hit that tilting point or that critical mass point that we hear so much about, it's at that point where the opportunity to change things will actually also begin to proliferate and accelerate, and things will really begin to happen at this point. At that point. all of this right now is so new, and it's all in such an embryonic stage. For many people, most of the change that's happening right now seems kind of negative, you know, in terms of catastrophic earth changes and you know, the old paradigm, you know, collapsing the way that it is. For a lot of people, that it just seems very, very negative at this point. But once people embrace what's really happening here and understand that that these transformations are actually, you know, a blessing, they're actually a good thing, then all of a sudden this negativity, you know, flips into a positiveness regarding all this in terms of this. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have
here. It is a wonderful opportunity.
Change things.
And you have a DVD which gives, and I'm sure there's many avenues that we can go to try to find, as you talk about, to help move forward in this transformation. I guess I want to ask a couple questions. We'll talk about your DVD coming up in the next break, but after the break. But why is this happening? I mean, have we been kind of asleep at the wheel? I mean, why? You know, I've heard people talk about this, and I know something's going on. But why is this happening?
There are a lot of different answers to that question. Let me give first of all, let me give you the big scale answer to that question. The big scale answer to that question is the fact that the shift is basically part of a natural process. It's part of a natural cycle. It's a 26,000-year cycle, and it's a 26,000-year cycle that's determined by basically the journey that the Earth and that our solar system takes as it moves through the galaxy. And we've reached the turnover point or the flip-over point on this 26,000-year cycle. So we've reached, you know, anytime you reach the end point on a cycle, and view the cycle as a circle, you know, anytime you reach the end point of a cycle, that represents, you know, as you move around in the circle, that represents the beginning point of the new part of the cycle, or the rebirthing part of the new part of the cycle, or the opportunity, you know, to begin and to start over again. So part of this is just part of a natural cycle, and this would be happening no matter what. And even if humanity wasn't kind of blowing it the way that they are, these things would still be happening, but they would just be happening. They would be taking a different shape and a different form, and they'd be happening differently. As far as the the part that humanity plays in this, so you mentioned, you know, have we just fallen asleep or whatever? The answer to that question has been yes. Humanity has allowed itself to fall asleep. And that basically is one of the primary reasons why, you know, the old paradigm world is coming down in the way that it is. The old paradigm world, in terms of why this is happening, though, one of the reasons why the old paradigm is not making it, and what we mean by the old paradigm is we are referring to our Western civilized world, you know, our Western civilized world that began, you know, approximately 6,000 years ago in Sumer or Babylon. You know, so when we refer to our Western civilization or the old paradigm, that's basically what we're referring to. And this is a world, basically, and again, this is something the indigenous traditions have been telling us for hundreds of years. So this basically is a world that cannot survive, and the reason it cannot survive is because it is in a state of imbalance. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a world that is unsustainable. It is a world that's lost its connection with spirit, and it's a world that's lost its connection with, you know, having a harmonious relationship with Grandmother Earth and having a harmonious relationship with the environment, you know, that we as human beings need to survive. So these are the things that need to be fixed. You know, we need to fix our connection with spirit, and we need to fix our relationship with the natural world, basically. That's basically the thing that needs to be fixed, and that's kind of where humanity blew it in many ways, in terms of, you know, losing these connections and losing them as a function of this culture that we refer to as the old paradigm. But this is the foundation upon which this culture was built. This culture was built upon a foundation of materialism and kind of worshiping at the altar of materialism, if you will, and kind of putting our spirituality on the back burner. So, you know, anytime you have something that's built upon a rotten foundation, you know, in order to fix it, you got to change the foundation, and that oftentimes that can be very radical in terms of the degree of the transformation involved. And there's a lot of other answers to your questions of why, in terms of, you know, why did humanity allow this to happen to itself? One of the answers to that is that this is a trap that exists for us as human beings. This has happened before. The Hopi believe that the world has already been destroyed or profoundly transformed on three previous occasions, and we're currently in the fourth world, on the verge of entering the fifth world. And they believe that this has happened three times previously, and the reason it's happened is because humanity continues to fall into this trap of being enticed by all the material goodies of the third-dimensional material world, and we lose track of our spirituality. So we go into a state of imbalance, basically.
So we believe that we built up, you're saying that we probably were not aware of some of these civilizations because our recorded history only goes back so far. But there's been other civilizations, like Atlantis, that have built up, and because they maybe went the same route, and there's supposed some theories, maybe some not some real strong evidence, that they were wiped out as well. So it's repeating itself again, isn't it?
Well, that's very true, and I didn't include that in what I was just saying, but when you think of our civilization is 6,000 years old, when we're talking about a 26,000-year cycle, well, this ending of this old paradigm I'm talking about then would only be a small part of this much bigger cycle. But when you look at real history as opposed to fake history, and when you start factoring in prior civilizations, then this 26,000-year cycle begins to be filled out a little bit. And yes, there's lots of evidence to indicate that most notably the civilization of Atlantis was making a lot of the same mistakes and was also had a lot of the same imbalances that typify our civilization. So this just didn't all start 6,000 years ago. It all started quite a bit farther back in history than that. So you're absolutely correct about that.
His name is Jack Alice. You can find him at jackalice.com. And in just a moment, we're going to talk about a DVD. If you're, the last thing I want is people to be frightened. But maybe you can learn some things from Jack and what the people that he's involved with. And there are many different ways to go about doing things, I believe. But Jack's onto something. So we'll talk about what he's doing and his DVD and how it can help you. And we'll do that coming up shortly.
Out there. John Bennett was paralyzed by a sniper's bullet in Iraq.
It shattered two vertebrae and fractured another one.
John's wife, Dina.
Paralyzed Veterans of America got us our benefits.
Senior National Service Officer Michael Killen.
I hand carried the forms over to the VA and walked them through the system.
You're just trying to survive, and they help you along the way.
To learn more about Paralyzed Veterans of America, visit pva.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
It's out there, out there, out there, out
there. Thanks for listening. My name is TJ Ryan. It's out there. And it's not really out there so much anymore when you start listening to all the different programs. Maybe it's not a big deal anymore. That's hopefully what it becomes. Jack Alice is my guest this week. He's back again. He's written many books, and he also now has a DVD. And we were talking about, this is something that's been close to your heart for a long time, the shift, as they call it. And there's a lot of fear, isn't there, around this? And how do we dispel that?
Yes, there is a lot of fear, and it's so important that we talk about this, because anytime we're talking about, doomsday, or when I talk about the death of one part of a cycle so that a new part of the cycle can be reborn, it seems like the only thing that people hear when they hear that is they hear the word death, and they don't hear the other part. They don't hear about that there's an opportunity to be reborn here. So if you just focus on the death part, it sounds scary and it sounds negative, but if you flip it over into the opportunity to be reborn part, suddenly things flip around and they become very, very positive, and there's a wonderful blessing here. And that's really the key to everybody in this, TJ, really rests in that. the primary thing that people are afraid of here is they're afraid of change. Mm. Just in one, people are also afraid of dying, but
right.
on a little bit less profound level. And as long as I said that, let me embellish that a little bit. One of the primary things that we learn when we launch on the spiritual path, and when we truly launch on the spiritual path, we're not just going through the motions here, but we are truly launched on the spiritual path. One of the first things all of us learn is we learn to overcome our fear of death. And once we overcome our fear of death, once we as spiritual beings understand overcome our fear of death, when we die in this world, That simply means that we are going to be reborn, you know, energetically, spiritually, in another world someplace else. That's how these cycles work. And the way that nature is, the way that this cycle was designed to work is that we as human beings, you know, we're designed in such a way that we are only going to be in this material third dimensional world for a fairly short time, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, something like that. And then we go on to, you know, to our next incarnation, and we go on to wherever our spirit moves, wherever our energy moves at that point. And that's part of a natural cycle. That's just something that happens, and it's very important for us to embrace that and to see that as normal and natural, and that's just the way it is. So when you look at it that way, you know, we never really die at all. We just simply, you know, die in this physical body, in this place, but, you know, it's not the end. It's not the end
right.
of anything.
And, Jack, wouldn't you also say that we really, this is not who we are as beings? The physical bodies.
Right, and there's a wonderful way of saying that. What's the expression? Is that we are not physical beings. We are not physical beings. We are rather spiritual beings having a physical experience. And once we embrace that our true destiny is that of spiritual beings, then we can get this, you know, this physical being aspect, and we can get it in the proper, proper perspective, and it's not so intimidating anymore. Let me say one other thing about fear, though. I kind of leaped into the fear of death thing, which is kind of, you know, maybe skipping ahead a step. The primary lesson here for everybody is in terms of, let's say that the primary thing that we're afraid of here is we're afraid of change. In other words, we're afraid of our old paradigm world basically, radically transforming into something else. And also included, and that's not only our old paradigm world that's changing, but it's also a lot of demands. A lot of demands are being forced upon us as human beings to change. A lot of change is being forced upon us at this time. Circumstances, basically, are forcing us as human beings to change. That's the nature of the hugeness of this wave of change that we are a part of. And the key for everybody here, TJ, and this is really, really, really important, the key for everybody here is not to fight this change, is not to fight it, but rather to embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
It is those people who, in part of embracing the change, is understanding what the heck is happening. You know, people just think, oh, you know, the world's going crazy and everything's, you know, being destroyed. Well, with that attitude, sure, you're going to be afraid, and this is going to be a very unpleasant experience. But as soon as we understand the true nature of this in terms of the shift and this opportunity, you know, to be reborn that we're talking about, suddenly the whole dynamic of it changes. And once we begin to embrace the forces of this change, you know, if the shift basically consists of a shifting of the Earth's vital energies, which is what it does consist of, it's necessary for us to embrace those energies, flow with those energies, and not only in relationship to the world external to us, but also in relationship to the world internal to us. You know, so this is it's not only the world outside of us changing. We
mm-hmm.
also have an opportunity, each and every one of us as individuals, to spiritually transform ourselves internally. So once we begin to embrace these energies and begin to embrace these changes, then the whole thing changes, and it becomes an exciting thing and a wonderful thing, you know, as opposed to something
to be afraid of. Yeah. To when we let go, and somebody told me too that we were talking about. I've had other people on, and they said, I asked them, what's the one thing we can do with this change coming? And they said, allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, embrace it.
And I thought, that's really cool. That's
allow
just a real simple way.
Flow with it. Be a part of it. Allow the change also to, you know, to happen within.
And let go. Let go of everything.
The spirits of all of us.
It's like, I think we're going to have to let go of everything someday. All of us. And so why not start doing a little bit of that now? The more we can let go of, and I'm not just talking everything physical, but let go of our... Also, our control that we have over others, which is not an easy thing to do. But, I mean, ultimately, we're going to have to do that. To me, that's what unconditional love is. You don't have control over anybody or anything. And sooner or later, you got to let go of it.
And, you know, in the Mayan spiritual tradition, the whole concept of letting go is a crucially, crucially important concept, and it comes up over and over and over again. Basically, what we are doing in this world, and I'm going to put this in Mayan terms, and I hear Tata Eric say these things all the time. Basically, what we are doing in this world is we are putting together what he refers to as a bundle. And what our bundle refers to, you know, a little bag that we strap over our back. basically a bundle is a bundle that not only holds our power objects and our spiritual objects and the things that we really need in life and the things that we need to do ceremony, but our bundle is also our spiritual bundle. It's our spiritual tools, our spiritual learning, our spiritual heritage. It's all those kinds of things. And once we've developed our bundle and put our bundle together, you know, we want it to be clean, we want it to be pure, and we want it to be, you know, we want it to be, you know, in harmony with nature. We want it to be connected with spirit. And there does come a time in the life of all of us where we simply let our bundle go, and we give it, we gift it basically to the next generation, so that the next generation can, you know, so that when we go, you know, the next generation can survive and flourish, you know, on the basis of the bundle that we've passed down to them. So we basically do. We let it go, and we gift it. We gift it to the world. So, letting go of our bundle is an essential part of this process. And letting go is a very important aspect of the spiritual path, absolutely.
You know, and what we're saying now, and I don't want people to think by letting go that I'm going to leave my wife tomorrow, but, you know, there's going to come a point where I believe, in my own belief, that she's going to, when we're in spirit, she's going to go her direction, and I'm going to go mine. And we still may unite from time to time, but I really believe we're all...
You mean when you're in a different incarnation?
Yeah, or just in spirit. And so we all have that free will, that journey that we travel, and it's our journey. It's not necessarily going to be with someone. It might be with someone while we're here, but I believe, you know, we go on our own journey. So that's where I come from on that. Now, we have a little more time. Can you tell us a little bit about how this DVD that you've created, how is it going to help us? Because I think that's the next step. How do we go about making this change? What do we have to do?
Well, and that's where ceremony comes into this. And that's one of the wonderful things that I've learned from Eric Gonzalez and the Mayan tradition. Because this August, I'm going to be attending my third ceremonial event at Deer Mountain. I've been there the last 2 years. And my experience there has, I've learned, or rather relearned, because this is something I've always known, but just it needed to be relearned, and it needed to be learned, you know, kind of in a stronger way. I learned the incredible power of ceremony in practicing our spirituality and in enhancing our spirituality. And ceremony becomes, in my opinion, one of our most important tools for actually taking the spiritual action we're talking about. You know, it's one thing to talk about it and to have this be a bunch of ideas in our head.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't change the way we live, and if we don't change the way that we experience life in this world, then it's just a bunch of words and it doesn't mean anything. Well, here's where ceremony enters the picture. Ceremony is basically anything that we do to connect with spirit with our intent and to connect with spirit with our vibration. And in the Mayan tradition, ceremony is very elaborate, it's very beautiful, it's filled with all kinds of wonderful costumes and power objects and ceremonial fires and sweat lodges and things like that. But ceremony basically consists of prayer, it consists of talking with spirit, and the ceremonies I do also, very importantly, consist of other ways of connecting with spirit with our vibration, very importantly, music, singing, chanting, doing those things together, dancing, those kinds of things. And using these kinds of tools for the purpose of reaching higher states of consciousness, reaching higher states of our spirituality, and actually practicing and developing our spirituality, and actually, you know, making those connections that we need to make with the spirit world. And so, ceremony, in my humble opinion, one of the things that you learn from my DVD is what an essentially important tool ceremony is for the purpose of taking the spiritual action and not only practicing our spirituality, but enhancing and evolving our spirituality. One of the things, TJ, that many, many people forget is that, for example, most of the ancient indigenous people that I refer to so often, the Maya, the Hopi, were highly, highly, highly evolved spiritual people and highly evolved spiritual cultures. And many times people make the mistake of thinking that for some reason this just came naturally to them and it just kind of happened,
mm-hmm.
But that's profoundly not true. Virtually all of these indigenous traditions, they worked very, very, very hard at their spirituality.
Don't you feel, Jack, don't you also feel that our history portrays some of what they did inaccurately, and maybe it's deliberate, and paints them as people that made sacrifices and did things like that.
Well, yes, and that is a gross misrepresentation as far as who they were and what they were all about. And yes, was some of this done deliberately? Yes, it was done deliberately. It was done deliberately to discredit them because our civilization desperately did not want, you know, their information to get out to the masses, because once this kind of information gets out to the masses regarding, you know, spiritually empowering ourselves and, you know, connecting with our true potential as multidimensional spiritual beings, once we do that, then you know, we will change the existing order. The existing order will be changed because we as spiritual beings just won't put up with being, you know, treated like slaves anymore. So yes, it's a question of, you know, not wanting this information. That's basically why they endeavored to kill every, you know, indigenous mm-hmm. tribe and culture on the planet, was because the information that they had was so threatening.
And then they turn around and write in history books that these were savage groups of people, yet they built incredible monuments and did incredible things that most of us back then would have not known how to do, and they were guided by something. And we paint them as these savages who, you know, that's what bothers me. I read these, they did sacrifices, human sacrifices. They still talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somebody's not being accurate here. Somebody, and there's even some evidence to support that this didn't happen.
Right, and it's all a question also, and we kind of open up a little bit of a
can. I know.
As far as this topic is concerned, but to my understanding, there were human sacrifices that were done during these times. But human sacrifices to them was completely different than what we think about and how it's been twisted around in terms of how our modern world, you know, looks at these things and distorts them. I remember reading in the Book of the Hopi about how the ancient Hopi were doing some human sacrifices at a time where they believed, you know, that the gods, you know, needed to be appeased. However, in their world, the human sacrifice was considered one of the greatest honors that could possibly ever be bestowed upon a person. And they picked people to be sacrificed who were the cream of their crop. You know, a young boy, a young girl, for example, to be sacrificed back in these ancient days was considered a great, great honor. And remember, these were people who weren't afraid to die.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes on a whole different quality, you know, when you begin to look at it in that way, as opposed to, you know, some primitive ritual where somebody's, you know, tied to a post and they have their throat slit or something like that.
Right.
No. That's not the way of it at all.
But even so, the Hopi of today don't quite see it that way. They don't say, you know what, we need to sacrifice somebody because I think that'll give us a little more enlightenment.
Right.
So that's
true. I have to admit, too, I'm not an expert on that part of this topic, too. I know a little bit about it, but that's one of the subjects I want to corner Eric on one of these days. And because a lot of the ancient wisdom, when you go to the traditional sources, like for the Maya, they have a Bible-like book also called the Popol Vuh. And some of the Popol Vuh, I just look at it and I go, oh, this stuff really sucks. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
a lot of their gods and a lot of their lords are just personify all the worst qualities of human beings. You know, these are just not kind of like the Jehovah God of you know, the angry Jehovah God mm-hmm. Of the Old Testament. Kind of that kind of stuff. And I'm sorry, I don't want to live in a world that has, you know, gods that are greedy and
mm-hmm.
and murderous and,
right.
and vain. And
I don't believe that for a second that whoever, whatever created us, is the only thing I see it at is love. And anything that's not of that has been removed from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't even go there, I guess.
Right.
Now, we only got a little more time. Tell us a little bit, if people want to take steps, I guess the best thing they can do is get your DVD. But what if somebody wants to start making a change in their life?
Well, the first thing they have to do is they have to really, really, truly want to change. TJ, I was a psychotherapist in private practice for 15 years back in my previous lifetime, and it was interesting, you know, how many people came into therapy, you know, saying they wanted to change, and it was real clear to me real quickly that they really didn't. They just said they did. The first thing that people need to do is they have to really want to change. It's really, really important. They have to not be afraid to let go of, you know, allow whatever or whoever they are now, allow that to die, because part of the changing process is we shed these old skins, and there's a part of us that actually dies as we, you know, as we take this leap into the unknown. People need to embrace that. People need to need to want that, as opposed to, you know, saying they want to change and then, you know, in fact, that's the last thing they want to do. And people have to realize too that change takes work. It mm-hmm. takes work. There's no other way to put that. And I really believe that a lot of the New Agers kind of lead us down the wrong path by virtue of there's a lot of miracle cures out there. You know, come to my workshop and, you know, fix your DNA in a weekend and you know, become enlightened in a weekend, blah, blah, blah. It takes continuous, ongoing work. And I think people need to embrace, you know, whatever kind of work works for them. I'm talking quite a bit about, preaching quite a bit the virtues of the ceremony, for example, as far as a tool that people can use to actually have these changes, to actually do these changes. But people can embrace any kind of method of change that works for them. And just because I define ceremony a certain way, certainly meditation is a form of ceremony. Yoga is a form mm-hmm. of ceremony. It all depends upon, you know, what works for us. And it all boils down to the same basic principles in terms of, you know, taking time every day to make the connections that we need to make. We can't just, you know, pay lip service to this and you know, work at our job for 8 hours and then, you know, be distracted the rest of our time and expect these things just to happen. We have to make time for these things to happen. And we all are in the same boat as far as we're all very busy, and it's really easy to make excuses about, oh, I just don't have the time. But all excuses are bad excuses as far as this is concerned. This is the most important thing in life, and we need to make time. That's all there is to it. And very often change, real true change, very often begins with some of the simplest things. It begins with, for example, ceremony begins with just sitting down, lighting a candle, putting it on the table in front of you, sitting in a chair, and just breathing. Change begins with things like that. And I say that to a lot of, particularly a lot of men, like hyperactive type men. They're, oh, you know, I can't do that. I can't, you know, because I can't sit still. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just too, you know, too this or too that. I said, hey, dude, that's the problem. You know, you just need to do it. And then whatever comes up, you know, if you have a hard time sitting still and you know, if you light a candle and sit in a chair and breathe and you find yourself, you know, going a little cuckoo, that's what you need to work on. That's what you need to deal with. That's your stuff. But it all starts with sitting, lighting that candle, taking a, you know, getting your breath right, and just kind of moving from there in terms of, so it all starts with, you know, with tremendous simplicity as far as, and TJ, virtually every spiritual tradition that's worth its salt ever in the history of this planet has always started in the same place. It always starts with relax and breathe. Mm-hmm. It all starts there. So, again, people make these things a lot more.
Well, I think people also think, Jack, that someone's going to give it to them. Somehow, magically.
That's a very good point.
And it's like, you are the one that has to do it, and it's up to you. And if you choose, it will be given to you. And especially now, because the door, in my opinion, has been opened a lot. And it may have been closed before. So now, it's like we can see through what's on the other side of that door, which we couldn't see as easily before. So we might have had some excuses. It might have been more difficult. But now that door is opening, and those whatever's there is coming through, and we have access to it. So the only one we have to blame is ourselves.
That's a very, very good point, TJ. I'm really glad you brought that up, because there's a couple of different approaches to this. You know, one approach to this is the approach that I call the active approach. And the active approach is the one in which, you know, we take responsibility for finding our own answers. And then there's the passive approach, where somebody just comes along and does something to you, and you're just, you know, in other words, it's done for you, or it's done to you. I very much believe that one of the things that we are called upon to do at this time is we are called upon to look into our own hearts, to look into our own minds, to look into our own spirits, and to find our own answers. I know that's very difficult for a lot of people because they're accustomed to finding answers, you know, externally to them. Look into our heart, look into our spirits, look into our own mind, and find what's there and find our own answers, because we're reaching a point where we really aren't going to be able to trust, you know, the system, quote unquote, anymore for our answers, because the system's breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if something weird is happening in the world and we look for our answers by turning on the TV or turning on the radio, I think we're going in the wrong direction. I think what we need to do when things happen is we need to sit down and we need to go within in terms of finding our own answers as opposed to in the other direction. And these times are definitely challenging us to do this and calling upon us to do this.
It's our option to do so. And what Jack is offering, from the way I see it, is an option, the one of many, in which you can pursue this further if that's what you wish to do. So thank you very much, Jack Alice. If you want to find out more about him, about his DVD, maybe it gives you a start, and you're going to have to be the one to take the steps. But ceremony creates a vibration, and what we're trying to do, from what I understand, is change these vibrations so we can raise them, so we can see things more clearly. So jackalice.com. Thank you very much, Jack. Anything else?
Thank you, TJ. Let's keep doing this on a regular basis.
Even when you move out west, right? You'll still
keep...
Well,
telephones are telephones, you know?
You're going to have one? You're going to be able to talk to me, right?
I have no plans to give up... I'm going to be giving up TV 100%, but I'm sure I'll still have a phone because I need to continue to do this work.
You know, eventually, we'll be able to do this telepathically.
So. Absolutely.
I'll just talk to you that way.
And everybody can just plug in their own frequency, right?
There we go. Thank you so much, Jack.
Thank you, TJ.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.